Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Okay, we begin with a little quiz. He is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed. That's the proper response. So I say to you, he is risen, and you say to me,
he is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. So we're through Lent now, right? Did you have a good Lent? Yes, maybe. Some of you, perhaps. Some of you didn't even know it was Lent. But let me promise you, it was Lent, okay? I had the beard to prove it, too. What is Lent? Lent is a time of going into the desert with Jesus. It's a time of stripping ourselves of some attachments, a time of regrounding ourselves in the fundamentals. It's really a time of death. We go through this season, and it culminates with Holy Week. And Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday and the reading of the Passion. And I remember a friend of mine, Deacon Bill Verzell. Deacon Bill Verzell, a few years ago, said to me, Holy Week is my favorite week of the year. I had never thought about Holy Week being anybody's favorite week of the year, but he said it, and since then I've heard it from other people. And one of the reasons that it's his favorite week of the year is because he lost a son in a tragic accident. His son was killed. And I can only imagine the pain of that for a parent. But nonetheless, Holy Week, he remembered his son's death. He remembered the death of Jesus. And he remembered the resurrection, the coming victory of Christ. And he believes in the resurrection, and he believes that he will see his son again. And so Holy Week makes these things very close and tangible to him. And it's his favorite week of the year. I remember somebody else saying to me that every Palm Sunday breaks their heart. That they leave church with a broken heart, with an ache, a kind of feeling of sickness. When they think about how Jesus was treated, and Holy Week's not their favorite week of the year. You know, what is your favorite time of year? What is your favorite week? Do you even have it? Do you even recognize? Have you stepped back a little bit from your life and you see how the cycle of your life goes? That there's seasons and times and weeks and months, and how they affect you and how they affect your mood and who you are and how you react to those things. I remember when I was in the country up 20 miles north of here, the favorite time people had was, it was the opening day of hunting season, that right? That was their favorite time of year. Or for some people, it's football. It's kicking off football. That's their favorite time of year. I, at one point, used to not look forward to Lent at all. I found Lent a little bit tiresome, and I didn't care much for it. But as I have grown, maybe older, maybe as I've kind of settled into my life as a priest, I think Lent is perhaps my favorite season of the year. It helps me be disciplined in ways I have a very difficult time being disciplined otherwise. And I see some fruit at times. And so there is that. So we come through Lent. And we come to Holy Week. And Holy Week brings us to Good Friday. Good Friday. On Good Friday, I ask the congregation here to think about a couple of things. On Good Friday, we remember that Jesus died for us, right? That Jesus died for you. Do you ever think about that? That not for the masses, for the individual, He died for you. Every single hair on your head is counted. He knows you. He knit you together in your mother's womb, and He still knows you. Every hair on your head, every whisker on your face, for those unfortunate people, every hair on their back, right? He's got them all covered. He knows them. He knows you, and He knows your sins. And on Good Friday, He loaded them up on His back, carried them up the hill. Now, last night, as I mentioned, we had a number of baptisms. And when we were baptized, we were buried with Christ. When you were baptized, this is the idea, this is the symbolism. We go down into the water and we die. And then we're raised to a new life. We're reborn. This is the idea of baptism, that we have a new life in Christ. And so if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not what is on earth, for you have died, and your life is now in Christ our God. And when Christ appears, may you too appear with Him in glory, right? In the glory of God. And think about that for a second. When's the last time you had a wow moment in your life? When's the last time you said, wow, I mean, really moved? Something touched you deeply, profoundly. And when that happened to you, were you tempted to say, glory to God? Did you even think that way? Or maybe you haven't had any wow moments. I don't know. But I want you to think about it for a minute. You know, I know of someone who was diagnosed with cancer. We have all had that experience. You know someone diagnosed with cancer and it's terminal. They're going to die. It's just a matter of time. That's the report. And time unfolds, and whether it was a bad diagnosis, whether it was a miracle of God, whether it was a miracle of modern medicine, they are still alive. And they go on. And we say, I hope maybe you say, glory to God, huh? Glory to God for the gift of life, for the gift of a few more years. To know and to love and to serve and to become. I know of another guy whose life steeped in sin, hardness of heart, a heart as hard as this marble pulpit, a hatred of himself, a hatred of God, and a hatred of his neighbor. That sickness of turning in on oneself and being consumed with negativity. And this man, I know, he was diagnosed with cancer. And his life would be cut short. And then a softening, a forgiveness, a transformation, a healing of his soul, a good confession, a Christian burial. What do we say? Glory to God. See, that's something beautiful. That's something that should move us. But we have to be open to that. We have to see that. How about someone going beyond the call of duty? Beyond whatever would be asked in an ordinary circumstance for another person. I know a guy happens to be a priest, but this is not just priests do this. Lots of people have done this for their mothers, for their fathers, even for their neighbors or for their children. But this priest gave a kidney for one of his parishioners so that she would live. What do you say? Glory to God for the gift of generosity. I know a man. He was once a child, as all men were once children. And this man who was once a child was hurt terribly hurt at the hands of someone who should have protected him. But his life didn't turn to bitterness. His life didn't turn to hatred. He knew the gift of forgiveness, and he had joy in his life. What do we say? Glory to God for the gift of mercy, for the gift of forgiveness. What about holding a baby in your arms? What about holding your wife or your husband? What about when I stand behind this altar and I look out and I see the doors of this church and they open onto the beautiful bay of St. Louis, and standing in the doorway is a bride, beautiful to behold in her wedding dress? What do I think in my heart when I see that? Glory to God for the gift of beauty. All of these things, for the gift of creation, a sunrise, a sunset. Do you know the glory of God? Now I'm going to ask you a question. When was Jesus' hour of glory? When was it? What do you think? He said in the Gospel of John, a number of times, over and over and over, we would hear Jesus say, he said to his mother at the wedding feast of Cana, my hour has not yet come. And then later he would say, the hour of my glory is approaching. And then he said, now is the hour of my... When was that? When did he get to the hour of his glory? Now I want to take us back again to Friday. I want to take us back again to Good Friday a few days ago. And I want to say to you, without Good Friday, there is no Easter Sunday. If you can't appreciate Lent, you cannot appreciate Easter. If you can't appreciate the death and the simplicity and being stripped, you will never see the glory of God. You won't see it. You won't be capable of recognizing it. So we go back to Good Friday, okay? Actually, Holy Thursday. And at Holy Thursday, there is Judas. Judas who sold God. Who sold his Savior for the price of a slave. There is Judas who thought he was going to have worldly power and worldly success. And for 30 pieces of silver, Jesus suffered. Jesus was spit on. He was kicked. He was lied about. He was crowned with thorns. He was abandoned. A cross was laid upon his back and he was forced up a hill. The betrayal, the suffering, his mother there watching it. That was his hour of glory. He was carrying that cross for Judas who betrayed him. He was carrying that cross for you and for me. He loaded upon himself the sins of all the world, not because he was going to get anything out of it, because he was going to do something for us. Do you see the glory in that? Do you see? Is that awesome to you? Is that incredible to you? It should be. It should be, because this is when he's doing it. This is when he is the hero. The hero of all heroes. And yes, laid into the tomb and dies for those very sins. Those very sins of yours and mine and Judas and every other sinner that has ever lived. Every possible human suffering that could be suffered, he suffered. And in that was his moment of glory. Because he went through. He didn't say no. He didn't turn back. My brothers and sisters, I hope you can see the glory of God in that. And I know as we stand here today celebrating the resurrection, and we do celebrate the resurrection, and he is risen. He is risen indeed. He has overcome sin and death, but it's both his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. We celebrate all four of those things, all packed together in one or two words, the Paschal mystery. And in the Paschal mystery is the glory of God. And I hope you know that. I hope you live that. I hope you experience that. In the Good Friday, you see the glory of God. On the Easter Sunday, you see the glory of God. In the suffering of the world, you know, and I know all about suffering. I know all about death. I know all about disease and hunger and thirst and bankruptcy and addiction and abortions and adultery and abandonment and worry and spiritual disease and mental illness and heart disease and denial and dementia and kidney disease and cancer and abuse and a divorce. I know all about them, and spitting and slapping and crowning with thorns. I know all about death. I don't deny those things, but I can see the glory of God and the victory of Jesus over every one of those things. Do you see Jesus in Good Friday? Do you see the glory in Good Friday? If you can't see it, you'll never see it. You'll never completely understand it on Easter Sunday. And he rises to new life. My brothers and sisters, how I want you to know our Lord Jesus in the good times and in the difficult times. And in all times, you can say, what? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Easter is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's got to be lived. And we live it in Good Friday and Lent and Easter Sunday and every day. Glory to God.